Well, good morning, Charlotte Church. Excited to be at church as always. No better place to be than the house of the saints, right? Some of you are like, the saints? I hate the saints. That's my dad's favorite football team is the saints. I don't know why. I still don't know this day. But anyway, but the house of the saints, that's where we're here. We're here to gather together to hear God's word, to send us out, and to do what he's called us to do. Now, many of us in this room, we have maybe our own motivations of being here this morning. Some of you may have been drugged out here, you know, maybe out of force, you felt obligated, or you're sitting here going, if I don't, then I'm going to go to hell. And it's like, that's not necessarily the right approach here. This motivation of weights and values, per se, of saying I'm here because of. Because here's why we're here this morning. So let's come out one mind and one accord right out the gate. So everyone up here, no matter if you're in the balcony or down below, front seat or back seat, you should be here for the same motivation. And that is this. You did what God called you to do this past week. And you're a vessel who poured out into others. And now you're in the house of the Lord. You ignoring what house we're in. This is not our permanent home. This theater is not our permanent home. But it doesn't matter. It's where the saints have gathered together, one mind and one accord. And as we have gathered together in the name of Jesus, we are believing that God's going to fill us back up, our vessel. So what? So tomorrow we can pour it back out. Okay? That's why we're here. Okay? This is not a time of confession. This is not a time. Now, there are moments in our lives where, man, we've done some crazy stuff, and we're asking God for repentance, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the conviction of the Holy Spirit is not to make us feel bad, to not live in regret. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is to bring us to a perfection in Jesus Christ so that we can be all that God's called us to be. The world has this notion that if we accept the Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior and the Holy Spirit falls upon you, in you, out of you, flows through you, then it's this idea of kind of like, oh, I'm just going to feel bad all the time for doing bad things. No, the Holy Spirit comes in and tweaks. Hey, let me tell you, you got to do this. And you tweak those things. Because I don't know about you guys, who wants to wake up in the next morning and you start checking off regret from the day before? You know, I don't want to wake up and have regret from the day before because I missed moments of opportunities to share the love of Jesus with people. You know, I want to seize those moments. I believe whole honestly that if I asked anyone in this room right now, if I said, hey, I have the perfect path for you, that I have an opportunity. Now, this isn't a sales pitch, by the way. It comes across that way because we hear from the world. We hear the world give us sales pitches. This idea, I love the YouTube videos. You always see this guy get out of there's a commercial, you know, before the video you want to watch. Guy gets out of a really nice car, shuts the door. He looks at you and goes, you want to make millions? You want to follow this plan? And you're like, oh, geez. And you get trapped watching it for a little bit because you're just like, what is this guy selling? You still never know, you know, not until you pay something. And then you find out it's a pyramid scheme, you know. But you know, it's these ideas, this quick notion of get rich or whatever, because that's not what I'm selling to you this morning. So don't get caught up in the way the world presents this. But what I'm presenting to you is if I knew something about your life and I knew a direction that you should take, I knew someone you needed to be introduced to. Everyone in this room would raise your hand and be like, I want to know that person. If this is the way we should go, if this is the things I should do, there's a path laid out for you. It's not hidden. It's not like you have to go searching your whole life. There's not this notion of, oh, I just keep working and working, and I never really get that satisfaction. It's not that. I have the individual you need to meet. I know that person. I have experienced that person. I have been in that room with that person. You guys would all sit here and go, I want to know this person. No one in your right mind. No one in this room. The problem is, the truth of the matter is that not everybody knows him. Some people have hit him. Some people don't want to talk about him because it's, you know, there's this idea of kind of like, because you don't know him well enough, you don't want to introduce him. But guys, I'm here to tell you it's the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit changes your trajectory. The Holy Spirit comes in and helps you. And the Holy Spirit tells you the things of God in your life. The Holy Spirit helps you and produces in you the fruits of the Spirit. And what do we know him by? Our fruits. When you walk into a room, people will take notice. There's something different about this individual. And it's not about who you are. It's about who he is in you. And that changes everything. I love what John Wesley, he said, light yourself on fire with passion and people will come for miles to watch you burn. Yeah. Guys, this is the Great Commission. It's your experience in that relationship with our Father. And how do we know the Father? But through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us this. Now, some of you in this room, you might say, I'm new today. I don't know what this church is about. Well, let me tell you, this is what we're about. We're here to help people find a better way. And we're here to reach people from the mountains to the sea. We want people to know the name above all names, the name of Jesus. We believe in the Bible from the front to the back. So this morning you say, what is the message of All In all about today? We've been talking about it for the past few weeks. So today it's one of my original Josh Gresham crazy college messages is what I call them. I bit my teeth on college ministry. So therefore, I learned how to preach and teach to college kids. So if you're of an older generation, you're going to look at me like I'm a crazy person because this is what I call a jambalaya message, meaning I'm going to be over here, I'm going to be over here, I'm going to be over here, and at the very end, I'm going to serve you something where you're going to go, oh, okay, now I get it. But for the entire time I'm preaching, you're going to go, what is he talking about? So just follow with me, okay? But I really want us to learn about getting on fire, burning so bright, and that purpose of what you're doing. I want to introduce you to the Holy Spirit. I want to introduce you to the one who knows the path for you, the one who will show you victory in the things you do, the one who will help you wake up in the morning without checking off regret from the day before. All right? I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want that. Now, just keep in mind, if the devil, this is one issue. By the way, in the month of March, I'm going to stop right here. Hard stop. In the month of March, I'm going to do a bunch of one-off messages, okay? I love one-off messages, meaning there's no message series. I'm just going to preach. On one of those messages, I'm actually going to teach you about the devil. I'm going to teach you because I think this is something. You've heard me mention it here. Every so often, I'll throw in little bits and pieces about the devil. I want to teach a whole message on the devil so you can have a real understanding of who your enemy is. And you realize, I don't know why I sit here in fear and anxiety with this. And I think it's important that you know this enemy, okay? So I'm going to preach on that in the month of March, so just get ready. But not the first weekend of March and not the second, maybe the third, okay? Maybe the fourth, I don't know, but maybe the third. But, all right, so with that said, the enemy will do everything he can. If he can't stomp your fire out, he's going to try to do everything he can to burn you out. Okay? Because I've seen a lot of Christians, they're just go, 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 go. But they're doing the things of God, okay? And it's like they get caught up in the doing, the serving, which is fantastic. But then there needs to be some rest. Rest in the Lord. Jesus says, rest. Come to me, all you who are what? Heavy burden. Weary. Come here. Come and rest in the Lord. You go, 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 go. All right? It's time to rest. To be silent, to sit in that presence with him. It's really, really important. So the enemy is going to do everything he can to burn you out. So you got to be careful, okay? All right, now, here's where my message actually starts. So Acts chapter 2. Turn your Bibles there. Acts chapter 2, verses 1. And I'm gonna read the scriptures here. And I may pause for a brief moment. I may actually skip a scripture and move to the next, but I'll lead you along here. So, but Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Whoa, what did I say this morning? All together in one place. Now, a lot of you already checked off. If you grew up in a church that doesn't teach on Acts chapter 2, then you're sitting here going, man, oh man, what kind of church am I at today? Right? Oh, that's pretty quiet up here in this Presbyterian church. That's what my father-in-law used to say it all the time. I never really understood it, but now I get it, I think. Real quiet up in here. Some of you are like, what kind of church is this? Catholic? No, it's definitely not Catholic. I mean, it's, you know, all of you try to put labels. You guys, there was no label on the church back in Acts. No label. It's just that, oh, these are the guys that have been around Jesus. That's the kind of church I want to be. When people go, what kind of church is Trailhead? Oh, those are people that have been around Jesus. Wow, there's a presence of the Holy Spirit. Man, you can sense that they've been around something of a higher knowledge of God. There's something, a higher understanding, another level. And that's what I pray for Trailhead Church to be. But we believe the Bible from front to back, that's for sure. So when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews. That's a key point. Highlight that. Circle that. God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, they heard something, right? They heard a sound. This is important. I'm layering this up for a future story to come. God-fearing heard a sound. A crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native tongue?" And he goes on to say, all the different Medes, the Elamites, all these different individuals that were there. And I love in verse 11, it says, both Jews and converts to Judaism, all of them were in this, surrounding this, these people. And they're sitting here going, man, what is happening? Never before have we ever seen this. It was important. Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. We hear them. We hear them. Let me say it. We hear them. This is an audible sound. We hear them. Man, they hear. They're hearing the sounds of what? Well, they're hearing the sounds, the declaring the wonders of God. They're declaring the wonders of God. That's good. It's really good. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Isn't that funny how that works, though? People, they try to describe it in their own vision, their own sight of things. They try to describe it, but yet they're off, you know? And unfortunately, people have been trying to do this for centuries now, and they've put people off. It's a distraction. Peter quickly addresses the crowd. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Let me explain this to you." And then he says again, "Listen." Listen, he's using words here, people. This is important. This is really important. "Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on some people." Some. Come on. No, you're wrong. I'm right. I'm the pastor. I'm preaching this message. Now, right, exactly. That's where you need to wake up and read the word of God yourself. Not just because some man up here is telling you, because he's deemed himself the pastor of a church. All people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they will prophesy. Now, a lot of people get real definitive. They want to define this and make this the definitive type of statement. In those days. In those days. Well, I'm gonna course correct that in just a second. I'm gonna read another verse in this passage that will course correct in those days. Here we go. In those days. I hate that. I hate when people get all weird about it. They will prophesy. Verse 19. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire will and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved in those days. Didn't say that, right? But in context, it was in those days. So only those who called upon the name of Jesus will be saved. In those days, if you believe that in those days, those only times that you could prophesy, that the gifts of the Spirit could be in operation. So, right? So it's, don't pick and choose here, people. Otherwise, you ain't saved. If you choose to pick in those days as the statement over this passage of Scripture to say, in those days, they will prophesy, dream dreams and visions, right? In those days, well, then those days comes in and everyone who calls the name of the Lord will be saved. This is all together. It's never stopped. I love when people say, oh, it stopped in Acts, stopped in Acts. Gifts of Spirit, they stopped in Acts. You know, the gifts of speaking in tongues, the tongues interpretation, the prophecy, all that stopped in Acts. No, it didn't. Did not. You know, those are just for the Jews. No, it wasn't. Acts chapter 10 talks about the Gentiles. Peter is amazed. Peter was the one who actually started this whole notion of like, it's just for the Jews. And then all of a sudden he heard the power of the Holy Spirit fall upon the people that were not Jews. And he was amazed. He was taken back by, whoa. I mean, in those days, let's stay with those days for you that are still stuck on those days. This was later on the Gentiles were filled with the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is what he calls it. So in those days, so pick those days, please. What's the time period of those days? Now, I know I'm coming across a little arrogant, a little cocky in the way that I'm presenting this. But I feel like some of us in this room need a little cocky and a little arrogant because you're a little stubborn. Some of you are a little stubborn, so I'm going to meet it with a little cocky, a little arrogant. Because I know what the Word of God says. And I know the Holy Spirit. And I know how some of you need to hear the truth of the Holy Spirit in your life, that you need to wake up. Some of you need to get smacked in the forehead with the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of you need, when I say smacked, some of you are like literally? Like he's going to come and smack? No, you bunch of weirdos. But what I mean is those moments where it shakes you. Where you go, man, I need to change. Guys, I want us as a church to stop loving sin. I want us to hate evil as much as God hates evil. In the same measure of hating evil, I want you to hate evil so much, but the antithesis of I love God this much. I love God this much. I hate the things of the enemy. I hate sin so much. I want nothing to do with it. I want to turn and run from these things. I have no taste for these things. I have no temptation for these things. I want the things of God. I want to have purpose in my life. I want to have direction in my life. I want to do the things of God. He created me to do great and mighty things. Therefore, I want to do those things. I don't want to live a life of mediocrity. I don't want to live a life where I'm just sitting here kind of going, you know, I hope things work, rather than knowing things work, that you have authority over the things in your life, that you can have vision, that God can give those things to you, that God opens up those doors of creative thinking. My wife and I, we pray about this all the time, of creative wisdom. Creativity and finances in our life, creativity of doors that we never dreamt of before. God, don't allow us to get stuck in a corner where we can't see the power of God, the glory of God, in manifestations of ways that I've never dreamt before. Before Peter walked on water, you know, obviously we. No one's walked on water previous to Peter. Now, they've parted water, okay? But no one's walked on water. In that moment, do you think that Peter in his life of living before he met Jesus, you know, was he thinking of the creativity, the power, the miraculous wonder signs, all those different things? Do you think that he was like, I'm going to walk on water someday, or it's possible, or no? But in that moment, because he was in the presence of God, the miraculous signs and wonders took place. That's the same process that we live in this day, now, right now, not those days, today. We live in a moment where when you lean in on God, the impossible begins to take place. The dreams, the visions, the process of never thought of these things begins to take place. That's because why? You chose to live in the presence of God. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. And let me go to Ezekiel. Let me go. Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Now, this was all about the Israelites, okay? This was towards them, okay? But because, and I've said this time and time again, Galatians chapter 3 and through the book of Hebrews, we learn that Jesus Christ being our high priest, this same promise and these same decrees fall on us to this day. Okay? So this doesn't just go unseen in the sense of it's in the past, it's now, we live in it now, today. So Ezekiel 36, 26, let me read it again. I will give you a new heart. How many of you guys need a new heart? Some of you walk around so bitter. Have you ever had a waitress who just began for the first day? They're the sweetest. I love waitresses for the first day. You can tell. I'll even say to them, are you new? You never, yes, my first job as a waitress. And you can tell. Because they're super apologetic. They're super, and they're kind of everywhere, you know. And then, but have you ever had a waitress who's seasoned? Man, seasoned waitresses are fun. Right? They're my favorite. Seasoned waitresses, they're fun. Guys, this goes back to a new heart. I want to have a new outlook. There have been, I don't want my past to define me. So therefore, I don't want that to dictate my future. I don't want past occurrences to create me a calloused heart. I want to have a life where I can see the newness of what Jesus Christ can do. Because as a mature believer, what are we doing? We're looking from the cross. We're looking in the eyes through Jesus to see upon the people. And what he says, he's taking care of us, that he's with us, he's for us, who could be against us? And we have that same lifestyle living for those people, the children of God, that we have that same life that we can live to say, man, I want to see them come to know who they are. I want to speak the truth in love. I want to give them the answer. I want to introduce them to our Father in heaven, because every name that calls upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. Right? So let's do this with purpose, with passion, right? That's what it's about. So Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, one more time. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws in those days. No. He's prophesying into the future. And it wasn't just to a select group. All. I love it. All right. Now, one piece of the puzzle here. I want us to go to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. This story is great. This is about the wall of Jericho. And it goes on for a few chapters up until like chapter 6-ish, 7. There's a few little stories that parallel with it in the walls of Jericho. But this is the story of the prostitute Rahab. So here we see Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hid them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us. She knew this. Isn't that great? I know that the Lord has given you this land. She's prophesying. She was the first prophesier of this moment. And here she was a foreigner to the Israelites, But here she was, a native to this land, and she's declaring, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. There's a fear. God-fearing. You guys remember I read that in Acts? God-fearing Jews in the land that day. They were there in the city. God-fearing. It's really important. God-fearing. And so in verse 10, we have heard. There's a sound. We've heard. There's a sound. It's an audible sound. We have heard. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear. Our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Rahab's declaring all of this over her family. She's saying, whoa, 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 something's changed. Something's happened. There's a fear, a melting of fear. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about this fear, okay? So in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, the previous chapter says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. So let me read chapter 9 again, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. So I can say it this way. To hate evil is the beginning of wisdom. So to hate evil is the beginning of wisdom. Now, what does James say in James chapter 1, verse 5? This is important. If any of you lacks wisdom, some of you guys, the sin that you find yourself in, these moments, you just keep doing them over and over again. You're not fearing God. You're not fearing. You're allowing these things to subdue you, to give you some complacency of, this is, you know, the way I live, the substance abuse, right? That you're basically doing things that are not what God's called you to do, and you're just in a holding pattern. And you're just out there. And you feel the lost. You feel no purpose. There's aimless void in your life without a purpose. And this is where God's saying, you've got to hate these things. Because it goes on in James chapter 1 that God can have nothing to do with sin. God can have nothing to do with sin. He turns his back on the sin. I can't even be a part of it. Can't touch it. I can't be in association with this. So in this moment, if any of you lacks wisdom, James chapter 1, verse 5 says this, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Guys, in those moments, the wisdom of knowing that you hate the evil, you can ask God to increase your hate for those evil things. That he will replace those evil things with the love of God, the passion of God. He will replace these things if you just ask. It says he gives liberally this wisdom if you just ask. Ask. God, I come in, and Lord, I keep having this overwhelming sensation of wanting to do these bad things, the behavior. I need the heart of stone to come out. Remember, we just read all about this. I need the heart of stone to be renewed. You promised in those days in Ezekiel, you promised that we would have these heart of stones taken out, and that God, you would put your spirit in and you would transform us, that our being would be different. Do you guys remember in Acts when the disciples walked into a town and they were prophesying and teaching the things of God, and all the people in the city, the Pharisees and all of them, were like, there's something different about you. I got to take note of this, they said. We got to take note of this. I mean, this the same moment is the same Stephen moment in the book of Acts where Stephen is about to get stoned. Death is right in front of him. And he preaches the truth to him first, and that's when they all wanted to stone him. And then here he is, all of these individuals picking up stones, ready to kill him. And in the face of death, he asks God to forgive him. Yeah. Ah, I see my Father in heaven. You know, in those moments, you know they were sitting here probably just confused. What a perplexed process to be a part of here's this man without fear, without shame. Something about this is very unique. In the face of adversity, wherever you find yourself, that boldness of the Holy Spirit will consume you. That's what I pray for in our church, that we are speaking those things of God, that we are declaring the presence of God in every area of our life. And I'm not telling you to be some Jesus freak where you got to get Jesus tattooed on your forehead and you're walking around and you just constantly say, I always have stories about me being at the donut shop. But I was at the donut shop this past week getting donuts. And there's this woman. Now, this is being videoed. I probably shouldn't tell the story till next service, but I'm going to tell it this service. Just because. I love my donut shop. Now, at the first picture of the donut shop, I don't believe it's a Christian donut shop, all right? For one, you walk in and they've got a cat. Now, you guys have all seen this. If you ever go to a Chinese restaurant, this is a part of a religion, okay? It's not just a fun cat that waves at you, okay? So if you know anything about world religions, this is a religion, okay? So that's there. And there's a couple little things that are like, I don't know what that means, because this could be in Mandarin, it could be in something, I don't even know. But sure enough, there's this woman who's getting donuts before me, and she keeps telling the woman behind the counter, God's good, right? She keeps just saying that to this woman behind the counter, God's good, right? God's good all the time, right? She just keeps saying it, wanting the lady behind the counter to agree with her. And I was like, but she doesn't know God, that God's good. We can declare it, but then there's this notion of living it too. So it's not a matter of just saying it out loud, God's good, right? And looking at people to say yes. I mean, what God is she going to say yes to? Yeah, God's good. The 1,600,000 gods that I believe in? Or what? So you can walk all you want with this notion of I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to put a track on a urinal and I'm gonna pray that God picks up. I know all of you are like, women are like, I don't use urinals. I know you don't. Good thing. Here's the deal. That's for us men always see these tracks, right? So I'm talking to the men here this morning. There's always these tracks on top of the urinals. And those are great. And some of you in this room, you still leave those to this day, and that's fine. But that's not what's going to do it. What's going to do it is living in a lifestyle where the Holy Spirit is overwhelming in your life. That when you walk in the room, people will ask you of these things. That when you're in those rooms and God gives you a creative moment, it's not just constantly berating the woman behind the counter. God's good, right? God's good, right? Yeah, God's so good, right? I mean, it was constant to the point I was like, lady, you need to stop. Like, you're not doing anything. Like, I love what you're trying to do, but this lady ain't getting it. It's not. She's next donut, right? Who wants another donut? You know, $9.35, give me my dollars, you know, it's one of those things. And then the next person. And I know some of you in this room, you may want to be like, well, those are seeds sown. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to pluck out anyone's seed. And sure, there's a moment of seed sown in that particular instance. But it's going to come with more than just being a Jesus tattooed, wearing bracelet shirts. It's a walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. that the fruits of your spirit will be made known, that God will give you a creative spiritual wisdom, that when you're in this place, that you'll be able to do something that will prophesy. That's why Paul got so frustrated with the Corinthians, because they were like, we speak in tongues. Look at me, I'm speaking tongues. Look at me. And they were given these rankings of speaking in tongues. And Paul's like, I probably speak in tongues more than you. But that's not the point. There's actually more benefit to prophecy. Could you imagine a new believer coming in this room and me calling them out? And then you're like, you saw all that stuff on Facebook, didn't you? No, I don't have Facebook. Right? Many years ago, I've prophesied over individuals. I prophesied over one person. I had him stand up, and I said, you're at a crossroads. And some of you, if you remember that, that was about 5 or 6 years ago. And some of you were in this room. You found out what happened at the crossroads. And it was one of these moments that there was the power of the Holy Spirit comes in this room. That, my friend, is prophecy. That is beneficial. In those moments, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and preach the gospel through you in a manifestation you never thought before. People are going to stand back and go, who is this? Why do I bring up Rahab? Because there were spies in the land. And in that moment, she had declared over her family, the Lord is taking this land. She had fear of the Lord. She saw, she heard. She didn't see, sorry. She heard the things of God. She knew what was coming. And she said, nuh-uh, not my family. I'll do what it takes for the things of God. You know, God saves those with the past. No matter what our past says to us, no matter what our past holds, our past is the reason Jesus was born. Jesus came to take care of that past. Some of you in this room, you don't feel good enough. You don't have that. You're trying to put it all together. You don't have to put it all together. God puts it all together for you. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. When you are all in, you want the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you recognize it's not by my might, not by my strength. It's by God, God alone. So in that moment, when we understand what sin is and that it is the barrier between relationship with God and humanity, when we understand this, we will begin to hate sin as God does. The whole point of this is that's what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts you to where you don't want to do these things anymore. The taste leaves your mouth. The temptation is gone. You see through those things as just fake and facade and barriers to the prize that God has for you. This is where you can't continue to live a life where you say, yes, I love Jesus without the power of the Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of you. It's not possible. That's why there's so many fake Christians. That's why there's so many churches dying today. Why? Because they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. No one's bold enough to teach you about it. And everyone gets weird about it. Everyone wants to get all, oh, I don't know about that. Oh, you must be one of them serpent churches. I'm winking at someone over there because me and him had a fun talk yesterday. The serpent. It's like, oh, this is a snake handling church. I moved out of West Virginia because that's the only church, that's the only state that still allows it. Guys, you just want to put it over here to the side. Guys, it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why it was important that Jesus said that I leave you for those days. No. Jesus said it's important. That's why when Peter was like, no, Jesus, you can't leave. No, Jesus, I won't allow it. And Peter meant well. That's the thing about the churches. They mean well. They mean well. But Jesus, in the flesh, he didn't really like the idea of what was about to take place. But he knew that he had to conquer the flesh, so he rebuked it. He said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Devil, you get behind me, Satan. I don't want anything to do with this. And Peter was really just kind of taken back by what's happening. And that's when Jesus goes on to say, it is better that I leave you, because our Father in heaven is going to send you a comforter. The Holy Spirit will come in, manifest in you, where you'll be able to do great signs, mighties, and wonders and works. where people will take note and go, whoa, that's not possible. That's not possible. I love it. The architect of our future home, he walked through and you know what he said those words? He said those words multiple times. This is not possible. I said, yep. Remember I told you guys our contractor a year or so ago, he said, you know, this is going to take a lot of money. And all of a sudden I said, hey, guys got this. And we turned our backs and Dave was with me. Dave can attest to this. And all of a sudden this dollar bill flew out of the air and landed right in front of me and Dave. And I put my foot on it. And I looked at Dave and I picked up the dollar bill and I looked at Ed, our contractor. And I said, is this your dollar bill? And he said, no. Like he didn't know what took place. And I go, God's got it. Starts with a dollar. God's got it. Me and Dave just laughed. We laughed. I put it in the pocket. And I was like, yeah. Took it out for offering. Threw it in there. I was like, yeah. All right. God's got this. I love hearing what people say. It's not possible. It's only through God. But let me tell you, the point of my message right now, I'm going to wrap it all up right here. It all is the point of my message is Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, a lot of you guys, you don't like reading these parts of the genealogy of it all. Because you're like, oh, yes, all this begats, begats, begats. But there's a lot of good stuff in these. And here it is. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. I love that name. Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. How many of you have a past now? The prostitute Rahab becomes the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus. There's a type and shadow of the Old Testament and New Testament. When the Israelites were leaving out of Egypt, out of captive, the Holy Spirit surrounded them by a cloud by day and a fire by night, right? And this is a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit to come. The Holy Spirit's going to surround and be there and guide them, right? It's the Holy Spirit, the type and shadow. But now, because of the covenant, the blood covenant that God had with Abraham, he made that covenant, made a promise that he would send a Savior because no blood sacrifice, this is in Hebrews, no blood sacrifice could ever actually cover the sin of man. But the blood of Jesus Christ could. So because of the blood of Jesus Christ, it covers our sins, washes us, makes us new and whole. And in that moment of having that, Jesus says, and now be filled with the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. He says this. He talks about it. Man, I'm going to leave and God's going to send a comforter. He's going to show you the things of God. He's going to be in the midst of trouble, in the times of hardship. It's not going to be easy. But guess what? You have a comforter. And the comforter is the Holy Spirit. In those moments of doubt, in those moments of unwavering, that you're kind of sitting here going, I don't know. And the Holy Spirit comes in and brings you comfort and peace. Man, that's no better place to find yourself in. But here, what the point of all this is, here Rahab hears the sound. The fearing of God comes over her and her house, and she makes a decision that day. I'm not going to stay here. Spare my family. Sure enough, yes, Holy Spirit. And then she gets grafted into the family of God, the God's children. She gets grafted in. And here she is. She becomes the great-great-grandmother of David, all right? The great-great-great-great-grandmother of Jesus, right? What a beautiful picture this is, that when you begin to hate evil, when you begin to seek the wisdom of God, and you begin to shun away from evil and to the things of God. I want the things of God. You become hungry and passionate. You become on fire for the things of God. You become so bright that people will start coming. I want to hear what you have to say about the things of God. I want to know more about this. You could be the next individual in this room that witnesses to the next Rahab that changes the trajectory of the culture of America over all the different continents. You don't know who you're going to come in contact with, that God has a greater purpose than the one that they're living in right now. You're going to be the one that introduces them to our Father in heaven, that changes their past, that changes who they are in this moment, that takes out the stony heart and puts in a new heart, right? A heart that's purified by Jesus Christ. You're that individual. But if you sit here with your hands underneath your rear end and this idea of like, I can't do it, I'm not good enough, that's only because you're not living in the power of the Holy Spirit. When you experience the power of the Holy Spirit, it transforms your thought life. It transforms the way you see things. The impossible becomes possible. I know I'm preaching better than you're shouting. My father-in-law says that too. I've always wanted to use it as often as I could. But it's the truth, guys. Some of you, you're too fearful. I don't want to know about more of this. That's what it's going to take. In Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but by according to the Spirit. Are you living according to the Spirit today? That you wake up in the morning with no regrets because you lived according to the Spirit. That you begin the day asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what do you got for me today? Or what do you want to do in my life today? Because I don't know about you, but I want to invite people to church this week. But I'm not going to sit over at the donut counter and badger them. God's good, right? God's good, right? God's good? No. I want to walk into the room. Because I've been in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I have been in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the door is opened. The door is open. That's the in the prayer of Jabez. There's a prayer in Jabez where it talks about that you're praying for opportunities like this. That the door would be open. That it just happens. It's like it just naturally, spiritually happens. It's not I'm forcing this on people. This is a natural occurrence. People, because you're burning so bright to be in the presence of God, people are going to ask the question, what's so different about you? Yeah. I want you this week to burn so bright, but it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take the faith without works is dead moment. I mean, James even talks about Rahab in James chapter 2, verse 25. He uses Rahab as the poster child of faith and works. And in this moment, it's going to take these moments where you say, you know what? Not today. I'm going to clean my calendar. I'm going to spend time with my Father in heaven. I'm going to pray that he fills me up with the Holy Spirit. Cup runneth over. That you are seeking after the power of the Holy Spirit. You are seeking after the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That you want the things of God. You want to be passionate about the things of God. That's my prayer for you this week. And that you begin to pray for the opportunity. God, how can I witness to those people? How can I share your love with them? How can I open up that door of conversation like I've never been able to before? God, I want you to do this. I'm looking for creativity in these moments. So I want us to be diligent on this. So I'd love for us to get our phones out. And I'd love for you to put a reminder in your phone that tomorrow, maybe tomorrow morning, you put the reminder, tomorrow, whenever you wake up, that you begin to schedule the day that you're putting time in for God. And then you are praying this entire week. Maybe it's a reminder every single morning you wake up. God, I pray for creative wisdom to invite someone to know who Jesus is this week. Maybe you have been working on a family member. Maybe you've been praying for them, right? Maybe you've been talking to a coworker. Maybe it's in that moment you can share with them the opportunity. They come to you and they say, man, I'm coming to you because I need you right now. I need you to pray. I need you to come in agreement with me. Yeah, let's do it, right? And as you begin to pray, Holy Spirit reveals to you some prophecy, right? Holy Spirit begins to reveal to you some next steps that need to take, right? And they're like, "Whoa, how'd you know to? I didn't know we could. You know, I didn't know to do this. I didn't even think about it." And the Holy Spirit just opens up that for you. That's my prayer for you guys. I want you to invite. I want you to set the reminders in your phones, on your smartwatches. Have a buzz you. Yes. Because I know what the distractions are like. There's so many distractions. We have so many other buzzers. So many other things that beep around us. I want us to wake up with integrity, with intention, with a continual mindset of the things of God. I want the things of God. I want to change. I want to introduce people. I want to be we don't even know the spies' names. They're just spies. But here they showed up in the perfect time and place. And they really didn't even say much, did they? Right? They didn't have to say much. Rahab was the one, "I've heard about God. I'm fearful. My heart is melting of the things of God. This is your land. You're going to take it." Spies still aren't saying anything, right? and so, "Hey, save my family." So what do? They gave her this red cord and put it out your window. And they came and got her, right? Before they pillaged the city, before they destroyed the city, after the walls came down, before they went in and did all the other stuff, they went in, they took Rahab's family, they took her out of that city. Guys, how many of you guys, you want God to come in and take your family out of this city? Yeah. Right? Take him out of the world. Take him out and reclaim them. Yeah. Graft them into the family. Guys, I pray that this week you encounter that. Amen. Set a reminder. Set a reminder, phone, maybe Wednesday. Today is the day. I'm praying that today's that set a reminder that opens up that door to invite somebody. Let's pray.